Lord, we give you praise. Hallelujah. 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 That's right. Let's give that praise to the Lord God Almighty. You're worthy, Lord. You're great. You're mightier than any other. You are mightier than any other, Lord. You are mighty. Praise God. From the book of James, chapter 5 and verse 7. James, the 5th chapter and the 7th verse. And welcome every guest that is here, and we welcome each one to the house of God, and more importantly, to the presence of God. In this writing, James is anticipating and preparing for the coming of the Lord. In these two verses, we will read 7 and 8. He is trying to prepare the hearts of those people and our hearts for that great day of his coming. In fact, we heard about his coming here in Bible class. And the Lord is soon to come. And he specifically focuses on the mindset, in particular, that believers should have as we approach ever closer to that day. James chapter 5 and verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he receives early and latter rain. And likewise, he likens waiting for the coming of the Lord and preparing for the coming of the Lord like the farmer waits for the harvest of the crop. Be ye also patient. Establish and stabilize your hearts. Here's why. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Especially those who have been around the faith and around God and around the church. I wonder how many times we have heard that phrase, the coming of the Lord draws near. For some of us, it could easily be said thousands, for many, most probably hundreds of times. And I feel the Lord helping us today to be prepared and prepare for the coming of the Lord. We often pray before a message, but I'm asking you if you would pray, because one, I want it, but two, I need it and we need it. Would you join together right now and let's pray? Lord, we want your covering here today. And included in that covering, let there be a covering to our hearts which make us sensitive to your spirit and to your word. God, there is no one that can activate your word. Only by your power and then by our acceptance. Let that agreement be here today. Let there be your empowerment and let there be our acceptance of this word that is forever settled. We ask for your help and your favor, your touch and your anointing in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. The plan of God is very definite in regards to many facts, but especially the fact that Jesus Christ is coming again. Jesus Christ is coming again. This is a scriptural given. We should not doubt that this is very definite. And then further about that coming, it is becoming clearer and clearer every passing day, with numerous happenings and events and signs that he is coming soon. I would also wonder how many times we have heard that phrase, he is coming soon. The church, its leaders, and its members must continue to believe. And in this statement, I am appealing to you today as believers. We must continue to believe, live, and tell this fundamental truth. Jesus Christ is coming again. And it could be at any moment. Leaders, preachers, teachers, pastors, we must continue to put the trumpet of His word to our lips and sound with a certain sound this message: the Lord is definitely coming. I want you to know that I believe with everything that I can garner this morning, the message that I preach. It is not a sermon. It is not just another message. It is a belief in my belief system that the Lord is definitely coming. But as a God-called minister, it is not enough for me to only believe that personally. It is incumbent upon me to preach the message that Jesus is coming soon. And then to believers and church members, from the newest convert to the most experienced warriors of the faith, do not allow this postmodern culture, do not allow watered down Christianity, religion, do not allow compromise or any other anti-truth force to dilute or remove this truth from your belief system. I guess what I'm asking today, do you believe it now as much as you ever have? Do not allow doubt to enter into your belief system when it comes to the doctrine of His coming. Do not allow the misplaced priorities of this temporal life to cause you to take your focus off of the priority, because we get so busy and there are so many things that we have in this life. But do not allow all of those things to take your focus off of the priority of being ready for His return and to meet the Lord. While there are many signs that could be listed that evidence that we are in the end times, they are numerous, I'm only going to address one of those, one of the most recent, glaring, daring, and defiant to the Word of God. Defiant, yet was fulfilling to the Word of God. Just before Christmas, 14 of the 15 UN Security Council members voted to condemn Israel for refusing to stop construction in settlements that the UN calls occupied territory. The inference is that Israel is wrongly occupying this land. This promised land was originally promised and given to Israel not by a government, not by the United Nations, not by a U.S. president, but given by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And His stamp of authority is upon that covenant. That land belongs to God and to Israel. It has been taken from Israel at various times throughout their history. This particular portion of land that the UN vote involved and that the world questions is land that Israel took back and annexed during what is known as the 1967 Six-Day War, after they were attacked by Syria and Jordan. And in what many deem a miracle, it was God's intervention, they miraculously defeated the enemies that would try to violate that covenant of that land. Brother Spall gave a wonderful, insightful portion of the lesson today about how Israel, the land, is called Beulah, which literally means married. But God is saying, I'm married to the people and I'm married to that land. And how dare the UN to try to divorce what God has put together. And we as a nation made a terrible mistake by abstaining rather than supporting Israel. We could have vetoed it In essence, our representatives regretfully took a stand against Israel. Now, here's what's serious about that, because when you line up that action with the Word of God in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 3 and other places, it puts the United States under a potential judgment curse. Now, we could think we're the United States, it would or could never happen to us. But God's word is true. And God does not mince words, and he does not play favorites, and is not a respecter of persons or nations. That action was a terrible mistake and a violation of the mandate and the word of God. And if you just take that verse right there, just that statement, here's what you could say. We need Israel for our security even more than Israel needs us. There are people that have called this vote and this abstention by the United States the most anti-Semitic incident of 2016. If that is true, I am sorry that that was committed by the United States of America. Unfortunately, our leader and others took the opportunity to declare that any peace agreement must include returning to pre-1967 borders, meaning borders that are essential to Israel's security. There is a plan to try to dismantle, and some have just spoken it just outright, that they want this nation wiped from the face of the globe and the face of the earth. We can only hope and pray, and I encourage you to do this, that the current administration will not perpetrate any further betrayal of Israel. We should continue to pray for God's restraining hand in these closing days of this administration, so that God's blessing and his help can come to us as a people. And then we need to pray for the new administration to be wise in their dealings with the nation of Israel. And at this point, thankfully, it appears that the incoming administration has a heart for our ally, Israel. Fortunately, this last Thursday, the U.S. House of Representatives passed a resolution repudiating both that UN Security Council vote and this administration for allowing that measure to pass. May the Senate follow suit. And prayerfully, this wrong decision and act against our closest national friend can be reversed. I'm thankful the House of Representatives sounded their voice. And this is the reason I'm preaching it today. I believe we need to sound our voice in support of what has been known and what is the nation of Israel, the people of God. Folks, it is absolutely critical that we as believers and our government and our leadership is a heartfelt supporter of the nation of Israel, and we can maintain an unbreakable bond of friendship. With that said, we know and we remember that anti-Israeli sentiment and activity is prophesied in the scriptures. That's one reason I'm saying and calling this a sign of the end time. Because more than once, the scripture prophesies how the nations of the world will be gathered against Israel. But we are not going to remain silent. The Bible also says sin is going to abound. But that doesn't mean we sin or accept sin or quit preaching against sin. Just because evil is going wrong, that doesn't change one bit the fundamentals and the principles and the commands of the word of the Lord. In light of this one sign, and like I said, there are many others, the scriptural fulfillments that are increasingly occurring, there should be an urgency and a soberness, a seriousness that touches and grips our hearts concerning the coming of the Lord. The most dangerous condition that any of us could be in is to feel like the Lord has delayed his coming, and to think that we can come up with reasons that it will not take place for years and years, the Lord could come today. I just want to admit to you from a preacher standpoint today, to make statements like that, here's what I have thought, because I've heard all kind of responses to that, positive and negative. But in my preacher thought and in my preacher mind, my pastor mind, there's an intimidation to think that you are thinking he's only trying to scare us. He's only trying to get an altar response. But I wash my hands clean of that today. That is not my motive. That is not my desire. I am preaching today that the Lord could come very soon. And that no man knows the day nor the hour. It could be at 2:15 p.m. this afternoon. It could be at any moment or any time. We don't know. And there should be an urgency. And I'm going to tell you this. This servant, this sermon, this preacher, this congregation, this response would be totally different if we believed the Lord was coming. Jesus gave a parable in Luke 12. And he talks about the servant and the Lord going away and the Lord returning. And he says, if that servant say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, then he begins to act and live so that he will not be prepared for that coming. Notice, he may not say it out loud. He says it in his heart. And out of that heart comes the directions of how we act and how we respond and how we live. And the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looks not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. Where will your portion be today? And that servant which knew his Lord's will, you walk out of this building today, you will have to say, if you accept this message, I know the Lord is coming. And then for those of us who have heard it over and over and have believed it through the years, we know the Lord's will. And if we know the Lord's will and we prepare not ourselves, like this servant, not doing the will, he feels and finds the judgment of being beaten in this case. And then in 48, he says, for whomsoever much is given. And while this may not apply to everybody, but I preach to saints and members and longtime members and just this church in itself of over 81 years, much has been given to us. None of us will ever be able to stand before the Lord that day and say, Lord, there weren't enough services. There wasn't enough conviction. There wasn't enough preaching. There wasn't enough prayer. There wasn't enough fasting. There wasn't enough. But this servant knew what the will and the message of the Lord was. And yet, he did not fulfill it. For whomsoever, to whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. Much is going to be required. I owe it to you to tell you that today. Much is going to be required of you. Every sermon that you have heard, every lesson that you have received, every song about the coming of the Lord, every time a parent took you aside and talked to you about living for God, every time a friend prayed for you, literally thousands and for some of us probably millions of prayers have been prayed for our soul. Much has been given to us. Much will be required. And when the servant felt like the Lord delayed his coming, he began to do things that other evil people were doing. Something he would have never done before or done in the presence of the master. Why? He was no longer motivated to be ready. We must never let ourselves become numbed to the conviction of the Lord, to where we are not motivated. We are not motivated. The Spirit of the Lord is in here right now. He's convicting. Another word would be He is motivating us to be ready to meet Him. The thinking of our world and our culture. I know what you face, church. I know what you face, believers. All of us do face it. We can't ignore it. It has insulated us to the extent of causing us to be much less sensitive to His word and to the message of His coming. There's doubt, there's skepticism, there's outright unbelief that the Bible is relevant or the Bible is true. Don't let that slip into any facet of the doctrine. And doctrines are being challenged, but if you let it seep into one little area, it'll get into all areas. And it'll get into this area about the coming of the Lord. There are contemporary Christian churches and leaders and pastors and scholars speak and write about the return of the Lord, but they have all but destroyed the urgency in the hearts of God's people. It's easy to receive a false sense of security. The impression can be left even by religion that should a person miss the rapture, there'll be another chance. They can still be a part of God's kingdom, end up in heaven. But I would tell you, tragically, nothing could be further from the truth. If the norm of culture and flesh and carnality prevails, it's very likely that a high percentage of believers, and even some of us at Apostolic Pentecostal Church, can remain unmoved by His message and His Spirit today. But this remains true. He is coming. And we must be ready. We've got to believe. We've got to live like the Lord is coming now more than ever before. This is no time to set that belief on the shelf. This is no time to get insulated by life's business. And we must talk about it. We must preach about it. We must teach about it, sing about it, more than ever before. How do you keep a keen awareness regarding His coming? How do we securely retain this belief in His coming? And all importantly, it's what James was dealing with. How do we maintain the spiritual disciplines to address the issues that face us? How do we do that? How do we keep those disciplines of prayer and fasting and reading the word and faithfulness and holiness that demonstrate we really believe the Lord is coming? And this is what James was dealing with, and he said it in verse 8. Be ye also patient. It literally is translated, bear with it, or bear up underneath it, and endure it, and stabilize or establish your hearts. Bear up underneath it. Be patient. That does not mean bear with it in the sense of agree with what's going on. But it does mean on matters such as that UN resolution and other things that are going to be happening. We're going to have to be ready so that we are not overwhelmed. Not only do we have to be ready for the coming of the Lord, we must be ready for the steps that are going to precede the coming of the Lord. The conditions and the circumstances. And James says, be patient or bear with it. In other words, bear it. Come underneath it. Don't be overwhelmed or frustrated or fearful when these signs and events occur. The coming of the Lord should not strike fear in our hearts. It should strike a hope in our hearts. Not a fear that says, I don't know whether I'm ready or not. That's what services like this are about. That's what your personal devotion times are about. That's what the convicting touch of God in your heart and your life and thoughts come to you about what I should do or what I should not be doing. That's what that is all about. God preparing us and helping us to be ready. The instruction is bear up under it, strengthen and stabilize your heart. In other words, do whatever is necessary to strengthen your spirit, your heart, your emotions, and your faith. And now I want to quickly tell you what will establish your heart and what will strengthen your faith and what will help you to face the conditions that are going to come to us so that you will not be overwhelmed. First of all, reading and hearing the word of the Lord. Paul wrote, he said, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. I want to encourage you, saturate your life, saturate your lifestyle with the word of God. Read the word, read about it, meaning other books that would help you to better understand it. Listen to it, whatever, however you can. Fill your life with the word of God. If we believed the Lord was coming, our Wednesday night crowd would be very similar to this Sunday morning crowd. I want to instruct you right now. Don't sleep in on Sunday morning. Come to where the Word of God is taught. Because we are going to need the Word of God. We are in need of the Word of God. The second thing is prayer. Samuel said, "As for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray." Do not cease to pray. In fact, here Samuel literally calls it a sin to not pray. And here's what we know. No one is exempt from the negative results of prayerlessness. None of us are exempt. But here's the promise. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then God said, if you will, I will. And probably everybody in this room has been a recipient of that promise of God. Because when we prayed, he did. When we called, he answered. Prayer is our best line. I just want to instruct you today. Prayer is your best line of defense, and it should be your first line of offense. It will protect us, and then it will give us victory. Prayer really changes us more than it changes God. And we do not pray to change God or His will, but we pray to be changed and to be prepared and to be ready. But we do not know what we are going to face, and we have seen some awful things. The only thing I know that it's my responsibility to help equip you, and then your responsibility to be receptive, to be prayerful and be sensitive, so that whatever comes down the highway before the coming of the Lord, that you are already prepared. The event may surprise you, but the spirit of that event will not overwhelm you and will not destroy you. Fasting is another important element in preparing and helping. It kills, denies the flesh. It detaches us. Prayer attaches us to God. Fasting detaches us from this earth and this templeness. Do not let that become some little trite apostolic fundamental. Do not make light of it. Take it seriously. And we all joke, and it's no joke when you're fasting, there is hunger involved. And we kind of joke about that. But I'm going to tell you, your fast life is important to your salvation. Because it will prepare you for the events and the things and the circumstances that you are going to face. And it will help you to be ready and be prepared. Faithfulness in any and all areas of spiritual lives. The day of being able to fake it spiritually, those days are gone. Now we can still fool people. But really, in essence, and to be validly ready, those days are gone. And for those who do that, right now, it looks like you are surviving. And it looks like any lack of faithfulness and prayerfulness and fasting and holiness isn't making that much difference. But every day that you could be gaining strength to bear up underneath world conditions and to withstand the strong current of sin or carnality or compromise, instead of gaining, you are either remaining the same or regressing. And the spirit of this age, sin and evil, is intensifying. It's gaining strength. So, just think about that logically. If sin and the power and the spirit of this age is increasing daily, and you just remain the same, you are in essence falling behind and becoming weaker and weaker and weaker. I want to tell you today, as I preach some things that may convict and may disturb, I want to feel like I will feel on Judgment Day. And here's what I mean by that. On that day, I will not be one bit sorry for this message. I won't have any regrets. I should have preached the necessity of prayer and fasting and the word and faithfulness. I should have attempted to hold them to more accountability, expecting and requesting them to be ready. Not on that day. It will be messages like God has given us today that both you as the receiver and me as the giver will be thankful for. You may be today, but you will be then, for sure, thankful that a preacher preached it and that you responded. And I will be thankful that I have preached the instruction and the warning and the encouragement that I'm trying to preach today. If you are going to fail to accept and count these things as important, it's going to have to be because you avoided, ignored, trampled right over this message that God has given to His church today. I do not want it to be said that as your pastor, I did not emphasize these spiritual necessities enough. Your soul hangs in the balance today. When I preach to the church about these things, like I'm doing today, or when I speak with you personally and I say, you should be reading the Word of God, you should be at prayer, you should be fasting, you should be faithful. It is not to simply make sure that you're checking boxes to obey rules. It's not to make you feel bad, and it's not to make me feel better due to a pastoral vent session. It's not even because this is what pastors are supposed to say. I preach this today, and I will at other times, because without these spiritual truths and factors in our lives, our thinking will be off. Our emotions will be off. We will make a wrong response to these end time events, to others, and perhaps to God. I preach these things today because they are true. I preach them today because it is the forever settled Word of God. And I will tell you that there is great pressure in this day. Nothing that God can't handle. But I've seen a difference from 1981 until 2017. I felt the increase of pressure of taking a stand and lifting a clear voice. Here's what I know. This word is true. And I am only the mailman. And it's a federal offense to tamper with the mail. Not only that, you deserve to know. If I love you like I say I love you, and I don't tell you the truth, what in the world is that? I don't want to make him feel bad. I don't want to make him feel uncomfortable. I don't want to. But that's not what preaching is all about. That's not what conviction is all about. What we need today is the Spirit to convict us and then convince us concerning the necessity of prayer and the Word of God and faithfulness and fasting and be ready for the coming of the Lord. Would you bow your head, please? Now would you stand? Just in reverence. This altar is open right now. You could come to reconfirm your belief and your sensitivity to the coming of the Lord. You could come because you want to do anything and everything to prepare yourself. If you need to repent today to be forgiven of sin, if you want to be baptized, if you want to receive the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, if you need to forgive somebody, if you want to pray for the lost, if you want to reestablish some spiritual boundaries and disciplines and landmarks in your life. Some will come and pray that your thinking and your emotions will be prepared and be right. That's one of the prayers I'm going to pray in just a few moments. Because I want to know how to respond to world conditions. I want to do it right. I want to do it right. And then some, I want to encourage you, come and pray for Israel. Come and pray for this nation. Hallelujah. Your soul is the most important. God's will is so important. Some are coming to intercede. You come on. You come on. You come on. The Spirit is leading, the Spirit is guiding, and I want us just to go to prayer right now all over this house, wherever you are, finding you a place of prayer. Let's go to prepare ourselves for His coming.